Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers of this conference for inviting me to give a talk here. And today I'm going to talk about high harmonics. Well, it's a question whether these are harmonics or just X-rays, as we have heard in Ferenc Krauss' talk. Not everybody would like to call X-ray radiation from short pulses really harmonics. And at the second pulses in relativistic regime, what we have heard today in the morning, these were at the second pulses from atoms, very much non-relativistic. Relativistic regime just destroys those atomic at the second pulses. And what we are talking here is the interaction of laser pulse with plasmas in relativistic regime and how these X-rays and harmonics and at the second pulses are produced. So all this is shown roughly here. So we have an intense laser pulse that is incident on a sharp plasma surface. That means just a solid body that is created, that is transformed to plasma by this intense laser pulse. And then the reflected radiation is in fact consists of a train of attosecond pulses that we see as X-rays or maybe harmonics. Okay, so first of all, for those who is not working with plasmas, what is relativistic plasmas? When plasma is relativistic, one characterizes the laser pulse by its dimensionless amplitude, relativistic amplitude. It is just vector potential of the laser pulse normalized by the mc squared. If you take a planar wave, then the kinetic energy of an electron in such a plane wave, the quiver energy, is very simple. It's a squared over 2 times mc squared. And from this formula, it's clear that the motion becomes relativistic when the amplitude is on the order of 1. Very simple. And this corresponds to the intensity 10 to the 18 watts per square centimeter for laser pulse with 1 micron wavelength. Okay, so what happens at the interaction of a laser pulse with plasma? How the harmonics are generated? When the laser pulse is incident on a solid surface, and if the laser pulse is relativistically intense, then just the pressure or electric field of the laser pulse drives the surface. The surface oscillates. And the laser pulse is reflected from an oscillating surface, and just when the surface is moving towards us with relativistic velocity, we observe as a reflection from a relativistic mirror. Well, and this leads to upconversion of a frequency, and as a fact, we see the reflected radiation as a train of such spikes due to the moments when the surface just moving towards us, towards the observer. Okay, so back on. That is how we see this surface oscillation in simulations. This axis is the momentum of electrons, this is the time, and this is the coordinate inside the plasma. We see such a spiral motion in this phase space that corresponds to the oscillation of the plasma surface. So, this is a very simple picture. It has been known since 10 years ago, I think. What can we extract from this very simple picture? Can we say anything about the characteristics of the harmonics? The attosecond pulses, about the spectrum, about the pulse duration? And the answer is yes. What is important is just to describe this process correctly in a very simple way, just to rectify the effect. Of course, there is a number of physical processes that are going in parallel. For example, electrons are extracted from the surface and pushed back into the surface, or I don't know, anything can go, but what is important is just to describe a boundary condition and this plasma. And the boundary condition has been formulated in this paper is just the transverse field and the reflecting point is zero. Very simple boundary condition. And the point where this electric field is zero, it just moves back and forth. It works. So we have here incident laser. So where we have an interaction region that is on the order of the skin length and the plasma surface. And then we have reflected radiation in vacuum. We know everything about this incident laser pulse and reflected radiation. We know our laser pulse. We can detect the reflected radiation. And in 1D situation, everything is very simple. One can just translate the incident laser with the speed of light in one direction, reflected radiation in the backward direction. And somewhere is a point when these two radiation exactly compensate each other, when this total electric field is just zero. And this point we call apparent reflection point. So that is what the external observer actually sees when he detects external radiation. He sees as the reflection point, the point when the where the electric field is zero, moves. Yeah, it moves smoothly. Its velocity changes smoothly. And at some points, this velocity becomes negative and close to the speed of light. And if you look at the gamma factor of this velocity, and exactly at these points when the velocity is negative and close to the speed of light, there are spikes in the gamma factor, very strong spikes. And exactly these gamma spikes lead to the harmonic generation. Again, very simple picture, very general, qualitative. What can we say about the spectrum? Is it enough to say? So, it appears that the surface dynamics is, in fact, very universal. Yeah? In what kind, in what sense is it universal? This velocity of this reflection point smoothly approaches the speed of light. And if we have a smooth function that has a maximum, we can say it, that around this maximum, this function is nearly parabola. And exactly around this maximum, the harmonics are generated. So then we say that motion is parabolic, like this, we describe it. And then the corresponding gamma factor, in fact, has quasi-singularity. And the point when the velocity is close to the speed of light, it has some maximum of the gamma factor. And this is the duration of the gamma spike. Well, the surface is oscillates nearly with the plasma, with the laser frequency. So that alpha is nearly the fundamental of the laser. At the same time, the duration of the gamma spike is much shorter. It is this alpha parameter, that is omega zero, divided by the maximum gamma factor. So this is very important to know. And just this very simple, very universal picture of a function that is parabolic near the maximum and leads to this gamma spike, lead to a spectrum, to a power law spectrum of the harmonics that has the following form. From fundamental to the 4 times gamma maximum squared, it's a power law that is n to the number of the harmonic to the power minus 8 over 3, so it's 2.67. Then there is a slowly it comes from this power law, and somewhere the exponential cutoff begins, and this exponential cutoff begins at 4 times gamma maximum cubed. So very long-lasting power law decay, and the power law decay is relatively slow. Okay, that was what we got analytically. So we did simulations on this interaction. So we're using particle and cell code. You have shown it already in the previous talk. What is this? And this is what we see at the plasma surface, how the plasma surface is moving, very complex dynamics, although one sees similar such oscillations, there is something else going on. So do we see in the peak simulations such universal spectra? The answer is, yeah, we do. So this is what we observed in the particle and cell simulations. We have fixed the plasma density, it was 30 times critical density, and we're changing the amplitude of the laser pulse, 5, 10, 20, and we see we get power loss spectrum, then exponential cutoff, higher amplitude of the laser pulse, the power loss spectrum lasts further, and then the exponential cutoff, and at the highest amplitude 20, we have a very, very long lasting power loss spectrum, up to some several thousand harmonic number. Very far away, so it's up to 10 keV maybe going. So the question is it a numerical artifact or what? Clearly it's not a numerical artifact. We have theory explaining it, we have simulations. And just recently there was a publication of an experiment done by Matzev group, done by Dromi, in Nature Physics, where they experimentally observed this power loss spectrum. So they shot with their Vulcan laser. They were very careful to create a very sharp plasma density, so they used plasma mirrors, even two plasma mirrors, to avoid any preheating, and they observed a very nice power loss spectrum, and experimental fit was close to the power minus 2.5, so very close to minus 2.67 that comes from the theory. So these universal spectrum are really observed in an experiment. Okay, so this is spectrum of the radiation. How do we know that it consists of attosecond pulses? This is not yet shown experimentally, that it consists of attosecond pulses, but one expects that it consists of attosecond pulse, just from the mechanism. We have seen these gamma spikes, and clearly each gamma spike corresponds to one burst of radiation. So we took such a 1D peak simulation of laser-plasma interaction. We observed this spectrum, this parallel spectrum, and then we simply selected a portion of this spectrum, high frequency, so we filtered out the lower number harmonics and looked at the radiation that we observe in the simulation, and indeed we got a very nice train of very short pulses in this simulation. So the question is, how short can be these pulses? First of all, it's very important what kind of filter you use. If you don't filter anything, maybe you produce few hundred attosecond pulses, but if you have a filter that filters away all lower harmonics, you can produce indeed very short pulses. And it's the shape of the pulses and the structure very much depends on the cutoff of the filter you use. If the frequency cutoff of the filter is below 4 times gamma squared, it's how the attosecond pulse looks like. It is unfilled. It's a video pulse. And if you go further, the pulse duration decreases just as one of the frequency of the cutoff of the filter you have, and it goes up to 4 times gamma cube of the times the fundamental, so the number of the harmonic until which the pulse duration still reduces is 4 times gamma cube. And when you set cutoff at frequencies larger than 4 times gamma cube, the laser pulse does not shorten anymore, but rather get filled with oscillations. So you may have attosecond pulses without carriage, without filling. You may have attosecond pulses with carriage, carrying frequency, with filling, whatever you wish. And the minimum, the shortest pulse duration scales like this one. It scales like 1 over gamma cube maximum, where gamma is the gamma factor of the surface as it oscillates. And if you substitute amplitude of the laser pulse, It's 1 over a to the power of 6. It's indeed very, very fast decreasing. Yeah, of course, there is some other factor. This is ratio of the electron density to the critical density, and that cannot be smaller than a, otherwise the plasma is transparent. Sorry? This is measured in laser periods. This is measured in laser periods. So roughly in femtoseconds. Okay, and such pulses can be zeptoseconds at in amplitudes of on the order of 20. So, as we have seen, laser pulses of reasonable duration, and reasonable duration at such huge intensities means several oscillations, maybe not one, maybe it will be 3, 4, 5, 10, maybe femtoseconds. We will be all very glad if a lambda cube regime, a few kilojoules can be then you are a king of everything. But if you are not at 3 femtosecond with a few tens of joules, but at 10 femtosecond, what can you do? Can you select a single attosecond pulse? We have seen there was some projects by Jean Moreau and John Nees just to use this lambda cube regime to select it automatically an attosecond pulse. But if you are not in that lambda cube regime, how can you select a single attosecond pulse from a relativistic plasma? And the answer is yes, one can do this, and we call it relativistic plasma control. To understand how it works, we should have a little bit a deeper view into the interaction. Just last year, we have published a paper on the similarity theory for ultra-relativistic plasmas. In this paper, Bangalyanka and Puhov, we have introduced the S parameter that characterizes the interaction of intense, relativistically intense laser pulse with plasmas. It's the ratio of the electron density to the critical density and to the laser amplitude. It's a number, dimensionless parameter. And the theory claims that if we have interactions of the different laser intensities and different plasma densities, but such that the parameter S is constant, so you simultaneously increase amplitude and density, then in all these interactions, electrons move along the same trajectories, and their momenta scale just proportional to the amplitude. So nothing is changing, all the geometry is changing. It is the same, just the momenta of electrons are increasing, proportional to the A0. And the S parameter is, in fact, has the role of relativistically correlated plasma density and separates relativistically overdense plasmas when S is larger than 1 from relativistically underdense plasmas when S is small. And this theory, although it's very simple, it has a lot of consequences, and particularly for the generation of harmonics. So let us look at the electron dynamics a little bit in more detail when the laser pulse is incident on an overdense plasma. So in the ultra-relativistic case, when A is large, all electrons are moving just with the speed of light, more or less. Although their momenta, tangential and normal to the surface, all scale proportional to the vector potential of the laser pulse, to the A0. The electrons are moving with the speed of light. However, the surface is not moving with the speed of light. The surface velocity is just the normal component of the electron velocity, and that is by far not the speed of light. So if you take just a simple algebra and say the moment of electrons are proportional to the A naught with P large, N and tau, some universal functions from S parameter and time, then the beta factor, the velocity of the surface, has this expression. If P tau is non-zero, then we can neglect mc squared, and we say this is like that, plus some all large from 1 over 8 squared. And if you calculate gamma of this surface, then it has this expression when p tau is non-zero. And when p tau is 0, then we have here singularity. That is a real singularity in the S theory, in the S theory. So we cannot neglect any more mc squared in this case. Yeah, electrons don't move exactly with the speed of light. But this gamma of the surface is proportional to a naught in this case. So this says, tells us that gamma factor of the surface is regular and small, reasonable, when p tau is non-zero, and it has quasi-singularity when p tau is 0, just because this p tau stays in the denominator. So, okay, this means that the harmonics are generated just at the moment when the transverse momentum of electrons is 0. So we can maybe manipulate this transverse momentum of electrons. Then further, I have told it already, we can introduce the apparent reflection point. It's just the point where the electric field is exactly zero. That is, this electric field is constructed of the incident laser pulse and reflected field in vacuum. And then one can write an equation for the apparent reflection point and solve it numerically using the simulation results. That has been done. Yeah, so we have followed this apparent reflection point in a simulation. This is the position of this apparent reflection point. Well, it's funny structure. It's not very regular, but one sees some oscillations with the laser period. Now, if you look at the velocity, and we are interested only in the negative velocities, we see that the velocity is pretty much a smooth function, especially around the maxima that can be easily approximated by the parabola. If you look at the gamma factor, however, we see that gamma factors have such spiky structure just when the velocity reaches the speed of light or becomes close to the speed of light. Okay, all these gamma factors, spikes of the gamma factors, lead to all these high harmonics. We see modulation, so interference of the X-rays generated at every gamma spike produce this harmonic-like structure that becomes blurred at high harmonics. And these spikes exactly are generated when the transverse momentum of electrons is zero. However, in 1D geometry, the transverse momentum of electrons is just proportional to the vector potential of the laser pulse, just due to the conservation of the generalized momentum. And then, manipulating the vector potential of the laser pulse, we can manipulate the transverse momentum of electrons. So, for a linearly polarized laser pulse, transverse momentum becomes zero twice per oscillation. It's very easy to show. So we have to manipulate the laser pulse in such a way that the transverse momentum is zero just once during the pulse duration, that's it. So the idea is simple. One introduces a transverse polarization, a laser pulse with two polarizations. The polarizations have different frequencies, for example. And then one can construct out of this polarization a pulse that becomes that has zero transverse momentum just once. So this is the idea. Very simple, very similar to the idea of Misha Ivanov in the interactions with single atom, but here in this case for the relativistic plasma dynamics. So in these peak simulation results, we have used two laser pulses with slightly different frequencies and different amplitudes. The driving pulse was amplitude 20. The managing pulse, controlling pulse, was amplitude 6. And in this case, we have separated just a single attosecond pulse. And this result is submitted to Fizeraflatters. And you can find it in the archive. Okay, so that was relativistic plasma control. How can one select one attosecond or maybe even zettosecond pulse? And another just an interesting mentioning that could be very actual in view of the extreme light source, maybe. So how to reach vacuum polarization using coherent harmonics focusing? Well, we all know there from the simple Dirac picture that the vacuum is maybe not empty. It always consists of virtual particles which fluctuate from negative energies to real world on a quantum length. And if one applies strongly enough electromagnetic field, then the vacuum can be polarized and electron-positron pairs can be created. And the critical laser intensity is 10 to 29 watts per square centimeter, 5 times 10 to 29 watts per square centimeter. One can easily estimate what should be laser energy to reach this crazy intensity. And using a laser with 1 micrometer wavelength, one needs 64 megajoule energy in lambda cube regime. That's a lot. That's really a lot. However, the energy scales with lambda cube, and maybe using high harmonics, one can achieve it with lower energies. So the idea is send a laser pulse on a concave plasma surface and focus all the harmonics, high harmonics, and the coherent focus. What is important about these harmonics is that they are produced just during such a small gamma spike. This means they are all phase-locked, and in this coherent focus, all the amplitudes, not intensities, but amplitudes of the harmonics would be added, and a huge intensity could be reached. Here is the result of a 3D particle and cell simulation, a comparison of a linear focus, just when we have a small amplitude laser pulse focused when reflected from such a surface, and here non-linear reflection when harmonics are generated and we have a strong boost in the intensity. Well, one can, having the similarity theory, one can scale the regime easily. One knows how, what is the spectrum of the harmonics, how we scale the pulse duration, how we scale the focal size. And this is the results of simulations, of peak simulations, and the red line corresponds to the scaling. And we see that already with the incident laser intensity few times 10 to 22 watts per square centimeter, the critical vacuum polarization intensity could be reached in the coherent harmonic focus. Okay, so conclusions. We have developed a theory of high harmonics. It is important that this theory produces the power law decay for the spectrum. And the spectrum is quite universal. It has been observed experimentally. These harmonics, in fact, is a train of attosecond pulses. Relativistic plasma control could allow to select a single attosecond pulse out of this train. And it is important that plasma harmonics are phase-locked, coherent, and can be focused to give huge intensities. Thank you.
There is a clear intuitive understanding behind the 4 gamma squared cutoff. It's just the relativistic Doppler shift. Is there any intuitive picture behind the second cutoff, the 4 gamma cube?
Yeah. It is very similar to the case of the Brennstrahlung. And just when electron is rotating in an external magnetic field, it like a light surge radiating, and just the time when it points to you scales as 1 over gamma. And that is why the spectrum of the Brennstrahlung also goes to gamma cube. This Brennstrahlung also has cutoff at gamma cube. And exactly this case is here. So the picture is that, where it is, one 4 gamma squared comes from the Lorentz transformation, and another gamma factor comes from this short spike. The pulse, the spike duration has one additional gamma factor, and that produces, when you multiply it, you get gamma q, just exactly as in Bremsstrahlung.
Would you say that the last gamma factor that you mentioned as an acceleration term showing the efficiency?
No, it's not an acceleration term. No, it's just limits your duration of this radiation. So would it be a continuously moving mirror? Yeah, you would get a 4 gamma squared. But because it is not continuous, but the duration of it is limited by another factor, gamma, 1 over gamma, you get gamma cubed.
If your surface is not sharp, but there is some scale of inhomogeneity, how the result depends on?
Well, if the surface is not sharp, you have problems. Yeah? The plasma surface must be sharp and comparable to the skin depth. And that was a big issue in the experiment of ZEPF. They were using two plasma mirrors just to ensure that there is no plasma scale. Otherwise, you would see no harmonics at all.
Certainly not the high ones they saw.
So let me just ask, absent focusing, what would be the limiting factor in how much energy you could put into a single attosecond pulse, say?
Oh, you mean... it depends where you set your cutoff of your filter. Yeah? If you don't use any filter, you focus everything, all the energy. So if you use just, for example, concave mirror that focus everything, you get all your energy in your attosecond pulse. Yeah? If you select a spectrum, then it's just a part of the spectrum.
Yeah, no, I meant what would be the absolute amount of energy you could imagine. In other words, how would that depend on the plasma parameters or the laser parameters?
Right.
In other words, not from all the harmonics you have, how much you get, but just from in general, if you wanted to have
right.
a certain number of joules.
The very important is this boundary condition. It means that at the point where we have apparent reflection, the Poynting flux ceases. And that means you have 100% reflection. So in this case, you have just 100% of the energy in your spectrum. That's it. If you neglect all small absorption, you have 100%.
I think one thing also which has to be said is the fact that you have to keep, you know, the plasma densities, you know, with a good relationship with the intensities in order to get the maximum efficiency, right? So in that case, it's
so this S parameter must be on the order of one, close to one, one to two, and that is where it follows. It follows from the similarity theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's thank our speaker again.
Thank you.